going to go back in general. We're going to continue with, in general, talking about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to switch. We're going to switch our focus, not our focus. We're going to switch our angle just a little bit. I hope and I pray that God is enlarging your understanding, increasing your expectation for more of Him, stirring your hunger for what He can and will do in your life, that you will see more and more. This is the provision of God for me as a Christian, that He makes available through the wonderful presence and ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. This is my, I have no secret agenda as I'm talking about the Holy Spirit and as I'm preaching about the Holy Spirit. The Lord has put this on my heart, and it is my strong desire and my prayer and my expectation that we're going to be moving on in this. God's going to take us on. He increases our capacity. We begin to understand more. He begins to stir, and then we start moving forward as well. Are we going to be observers who agree with all of these things about the Holy Spirit, or are you going to be a participant in the work of God through the Holy Spirit? I want to be a participant. I not only want to have right doctrine and right theology, and I want that for you also, I want us to experience and have the practice of what we read when we look at the Bible, when we read the book of Acts. Not just, yeah, that's so good, but yes, Lord, and I'm part of it as well. That's what I'm preaching us towards and praying us towards, and I hope that's your hope and expectation as well. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and sometime soon we're going to have a bit of a review, but I'm going to skip through some things, and I want to talk today about God anoints. So today we're going to talk a little bit more about Jesus. You say, I thought we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We are, but we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit by looking at Jesus today and then how that relates to us. I struggled with this title. I don't even know if I'm really happy with this title. I was thinking of a bunch of different things. In fact, I almost left it just like that without a title. But anyhow, I settled on this one. And I want us to look at some verses, and it's going to be a little more winding today as we look at this. God anoints. So we've been looking at Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, and you all are going to say, I got it. You're going to get more and more as we keep on going. In Acts chapter 2, it's the experience on the day of Pentecost as Jesus the Son and God the Father pour out, give the gift, and fulfill the promise of that they gave through giving the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2. Acts 10, totally unexpected. Nobody expected it. Peter did not expect it. None of the other Jewish believers who were full of the Holy Spirit, who were praying and fasting, none of them expected Acts chapter 10, which kind of encourages me a little bit, because here's Peter. I mean, it's Peter, right? He's one of the leaders of the church, and even Peter doesn't expect the good thing that God is going to do. And so as we go on, God's going to keep on working, and God's going to be doing things. So we look, Peter has been led to the home of Cornelius. Our theme verse is going to come from here today, and then we're going to look at a few other verses. And when Cornelius, when Peter arrives in the home of Cornelius, who is probably Italian, he's a soldier, he's a leader, he's a centurion, and he is either associated with the Romans or he is Italian himself. And Peter arrives in the home of Cornelius, and he is amazed to find a house full of Gentile people, not Jews. They are not yet followers of Jesus, but they are, remember what we talked about the last 2 weeks, they are obedient to all that they know. They are expectant. They are receptive. They are humble, and they are prayerful. And because they are all of these things, Peter's amazed, and he sees all of these people. They're doing all that they know to do, and all of these things are true in their lives. And when he begins preaching, something happens. He starts preaching. Here's our theme verse. He says, you know about these things, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, you should already be going ding, 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 ding. This reminds me of another verse earlier. Does it remind you of anything when you look at this? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. So think about that. You don't have to shout it out. This should remind you of another verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, say it with me. But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit, sorry, I'm using King James. After, I don't want to scare you. It's ghost in King James. It's spirit in all the other translations. After the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You should immediately, we know these verses well by now, you should immediately be going there and say, yeah, that reminds me of what Jesus said to his followers. But before his followers, we find Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. I thought he was the Son of God. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he is the Son of God. But whenever, here's a teaching point for you. Whenever you see the name of Jesus and it's not included with other names, Jesus Christ, or the Son of God, or these other things, whenever you see the name of Jesus without these other parts, you can tell yourself and you can know that the focus and the emphasis here is Jesus as a man, Jesus as a human, Jesus living in a body, the same body that you and I live in. Jesus, God anointed him, and he went about doing good, curing all. Now, is Jesus different from us? Yes, he's different. He is different from us. But God anointed him, and he went about doing good. Curing. What does this word curing mean? What do your translations say? Do some of you? What does it say? Healing. Okay, that's another word for you. Healing. Healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil. Is this only physical healing? Is that only physical healing? Is that what it means? Okay, no. What else does it include, Keith? Spiritual healing as well. Every area. I know that as we sit here, as you sit here this morning, some of you look perfectly whole on the outside. You look perfectly fine on the outside. But inside, where people cannot see, you're bruised, you're crumpled, you're wounded, you're suffering. And Jesus came. This word cure means to heal, but it also means this morning and then to make whole, to make whole, to make complete. And that should give you hope this morning. whatever's going on inside that people, other people cannot see. Curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil because God was with him. And so here we see, so God anoints Jesus. Peter is preaching. I want to encourage you. And then he gets to the high point in the message, verse 43. All the prophets testify about him that through his name, everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. The sermon was longer than this, but we just get a short part of it, okay? And so as when he gets to that point, what happens? Obviously, the people are receiving. Obviously, the people are believing. And at that point, while Peter is preaching, I long for this. I would be so happy to have my sermon interrupted by the Holy Spirit being poured out upon us. Bring it on. I'd be happy to stop preaching and start rejoicing at what the Holy Spirit is doing. And as Peter says that, obviously their hearts are open, and suddenly people begin speaking in other tongues. They're praising the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is poured out. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. They were amazed. But why should they be amazed? Why should you be amazed? Why isn't our expectation of what God can do, of what God will do, of what God wants to do, why isn't it greater? Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. I don't know why they were so surprised. Remember what Peter preached? Peter preached. They said, well, what shall we do? This is 10 years earlier. This is in Jerusalem. I forgot to check the mileage, but it's a long way. It's a long way from Caesarea. And Peter preaches to them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you, by the way, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. Do you know what that means? Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ, the anointed one. Okay. For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. Love this verse. For this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Does this say for all the Jews who are far off? No. What does it say? For all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Don't get stuck on this phrase, as many as the Lord our God will call. Do you worry about that sometimes? Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not one of God's chosen. Or maybe, you know, others are blessed, but I'm not blessed. Let me give you two verses to encourage you this morning with the promises of God. For God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. There's one for you. What's the other one? You know it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I have people in our lives, and they're far from God. And we think, is there any hope? Is there any reason to pray? There's no hope. This is the will of God. The will of God is that no one should perish. So guess what? When you pray, you are praying the will of God for that person. When you're asking for salvation, you are praying the will of God for that person. When you're asking for deliverance, you are praying the will of God for that person. When you are asking for freedom from bondage, you are praying the will of God for that person. When you're asking, oh God, deliver people from, or deliver me from depression and these things, you are praying the will of God. And the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26, we've talked about this before. The Holy Spirit does what? Romans 8:26, he does what? He helps us in our weakness. And the example that is used there, for example, we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit comes and he prays with us and he prays. We'll talk about this. He prays the perfect prayer. Have you ever wondered how to pray? Pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. He prays the perfect prayer. Amen. I've gone far from this, haven't I? The promises for you. Why should we doubt? Why should we think? I'm sorry. I talk with people sometimes and they think, maybe that gift is not for me. I don't buy it because I don't see it in God's word. Peter says, this gift is for you. It's for your children and your children's children. It's for all who is far off. This gift is for you. This promise is for you. And so he's talking about Jesus. And as he's talking about Jesus, they say yes to Jesus in their hearts. And the Holy Spirit is part of it. The Holy Spirit is always part of it. Are you going to be an observer or a participant? That's the question for you. What are you going to be? An observer or a participant? We look at this morning, and I know some of you have said, and I know some of you haven't, oh, Pastor Jenna, I've really been enjoying the preaching. I'm glad you're enjoying the preaching, but I want more than your enjoyment. I want your participation. We want to be part of it. We want to be part of this. And so Peter says, you've got to repent, and you will receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. So he calls us to be participants. Let's come back now. So God anoints. Here's our verse again. Here's our theme verse as we go through this. We're going to be looking not so much here's the structure, but at these verses as we look at this. So I have a question for us. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he went about doing good and curing all who were under the tyranny of the devil. So I have a question. Ready? This is an easy answer. When did God anoint Jesus? When he came down from heaven and was born as a child? When did God anoint Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power so that he would then fulfill the work that he had been given to do on this earth? When? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us the same story. All of them, all four writers of the gospel. Let's look at it together. This is from Mark, but you can look at any one of them. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. As soon as he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open. Who saw the heavens being torn open? Jesus. How do we know that? He gets capitalized. Okay? Apparently, John the Baptist also saw this. Okay? He saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending to him like a dove. I've gone back and forth on this. I don't know what you think. Do you think, I'm not being facetious, did a dove flutter down and land on his shoulder or on his head? I don't really think so. Now, you can read all Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, but I will tell you this. It says like a dove, in other words, in the manner of a dove, right? So it was something that was seen. Can you see the Spirit? Can you see the Spirit? No. But God wanted John the Baptist to know, I am sending the Spirit on my son. And so Jesus saw something, and John saw something. On the day of Pentecost, did they see something? Yes. What did they see? Something like fire, right? Something like fire. Years ago, I've told some of you this, when we were in Sichuan and we were teaching English in Sichuan, the Lord had opened so many doors. And in the beginning, we were teaching very carefully and very carefully. But year by year, God opened their hearts more and more and more. Till by about the seventh year, right? Those of us that were teaching, sixth, seventh year, you could say anything. For example, they asked Penina, "You mean he's here now?" She said, "Yes." And they looked around to see, and others can tell, Stephen can tell, and Ying can tell stories as well. And I remember in my class, I think it was with the fifth graders, I was talking about the Holy Spirit. But their hearts were open. I was talking about the Holy Spirit. The windows were open because it was Sichuan, and there was no air con. It was really hot. And I was talking about the Holy Spirit. And as God is my witness, suddenly, a dove flew to the windowsill that was open. And the class was pretty loud. There were a bunch of kids in there. Flew to the windowsill and lit right there. Just sat there. I almost didn't know what to say. I went, and I looked at the translator, and I said, "The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit." And she went, and she grabbed her phone. And the kids were, and then we said, "The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit." Was it the Holy Spirit? No, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. But was it the work of the Holy Spirit? Of course it was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was something they could see. It was something they could understand about what they had never seen before. And God is able, brothers and sisters, we don't look for signs, okay? We don't look for physical things. I want this to happen. Now, if this happens, then it's God. It's a sign from God. He can do that, but let God do what he does. I didn't pray for a dove while we were talking about the Holy Spirit, but God sent a dove, and it impacted. And as I recall, the dove went to another classroom too. I'm not sure. It was one of the other classrooms. I don't remember. And so here we see, as he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending to him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You're my beloved Son. I take delight in you." So this is when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. May I ask you something this morning, something for us to think about? Did Jesus need the baptism? Did he need to be anointed with the Holy Spirit? Did he need power? After all, he is God. He's God the Son. Jesus did everything he did on earth, not through the power of being the Son of God, but through a man with the infilling and empowering of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus did what he had done because he was God, because he was divine, we would admire and we would be amazed by what he did. But brothers and sisters, he would not be a very helpful example for us, would he? He's God. And you and I could use the excuse, "He's God. He's God." But the Bible makes it very clear. He was anointed by the Spirit. Anointed by the Spirit and anointed by power. Look at this. Here's what John said about it. "I baptize with water. Someone stands among you, but you don't know him." He had just baptized Jesus. He saw it, and Jesus saw it. I don't think other people saw it. The Bible's not, you say, well, all the people standing there, did they see it? I don't think so. I don't think so. It seemed to be a spiritual revelation, right? A spiritual understanding. But look at what John says. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about." And I want to ask you something, because the question I asked you, and we're coming to a close very, very quickly this morning, we'll pick this up again. The question I want to ask you is this: are you going to be an observer or a participant? Because here's John, and he says, "Look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about." Nobody follows him. Nobody says, "Oh, it's the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world." Look a little bit further. John testifies. This is part of it as he's talking about it. "I watched the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. He rested on him. I have seen and I've testified. He's the Son of God." Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples. Who are these two disciples? Andrew, who then went and got his brother Peter, Simon, and John. Andrew and John. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So here's the question. I'm cutting this message right in half. Are you going to be an observer or a participant? The day before, John said, "This was the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world." Nobody followed. It's like, wow, cool, great. I'm being facetious, but you know what I mean, right? You know what I mean. But this day, John says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And these two disciples turn. They heard him, and they follow Jesus. What will you do? What will I do when we see Jesus? When we hear the promises of God? When we know that Jesus, who is anointed, is here to set us free, to heal us, to change us, to empower us, to fill us? Will you be an observer or a participant? I want to encourage you. We're closing here. I want to encourage you. I think in this gathering, I don't feel hearts that are like, I don't like this, I don't want this. I feel open hearts as we talk about the Holy Spirit. But folks, open hearts should lead us into more. God has the promise of the Holy Spirit for you. God has the baptism of the Holy Spirit for you. God has healing for you. You need not remain in your prison cell of hopelessness, of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of brokenness. Jesus was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he is the same Jesus. Will we be observers or participants? I am praying that you will be a participant. You're going to do that by being obedient, expectant, receptive, humble, and prayerful. And as we are, God will do what only He can do. He will not do what only you must do. But when we do our part, God always does His part. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Amen. God, we thank you for anointing Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and making whole all who were under the tyranny of the devil. Jesus, you promised when you rose and spoke that day in Nazareth and you read from Isaiah, this is fulfilled today, and you are the same yesterday and today and forever. God, may we, your people here who are gathered in this place or watching online, be not just observers, but participants of your work, participants of your ministry, participants of your promise, of your gift, of the Holy Spirit and His work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Whew. That was 30 minutes. Have a great day. We're so glad if you're visiting with us. We're really glad you're here. We'd like to get to know you. And by the way, when you see Alyssa, it's her birthday today. She's 15. Here's the birthday.